So today, as I pray, we wrap up our series called Focus. I have loved spending this much time in a single verse, one of the great verses of our Bibles. And as we begin, I want to remind you to not confuse being confusing with being deep. Jesus preached to people that were uneducated. They were illiterate, but they understood what he was saying. And yet, it was some of the deepest teaching ever given. You see, if a message does not help you focus, then it does not help. And Micah understood that. In one sentence, he summed up what we have been talking about for 4 weeks. He has showed you, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. God has made it clear what he focuses on. Justice, mercy, humility. Repeat. Say it with me one last time. Justice, mercy, humility. Repeat. And I hope those words burn deep into your soul, because we don't live in a world that values those words. We live in a world that puts focus on self first. Most focus their attention on getting attention. We live in an it's all about me culture. I don't have to tell you that. Illustrations abound. For example, doctors have begun recently treating a new condition, and it starts with a tingling in the fingers and a numbness in the hand and a sharp pain that ends up in the corners of one's wrist. And do you know what they are calling this condition? Selfie wrist. Google it. We are taking so many selfies and contorting our hands into wrong positions that we are stressing the tendons in our wrist. But before you laugh at anybody about that, when you're in a group photo and you look at that photo, where is the first place you look? At yourself. And if you look good, it's a good picture. But if you don't look good, it's not a good picture. And you don't want anybody to see that picture. Here's the truth. I like me some me. And me worship is the most popular religion in our world. It affects everything. Me worship affects how I vote. I vote for the candidate who promises to do the most for me. Me worship affects how I budget. I make sure that I've got enough to take care of me. It affects how I value relationships. Before I invest too much in another person, I want to discern what's going to be in this for me. It even affects how we choose a church. Now, can we be totally honest? Most people do not choose a church asking the question, now how can I serve this church's needs? Most ask the question, how will this church serve my needs? I like me some me. Me worship has been around since the Garden of Eden, and it was very prevalent in Micah's day. Now, Micah preached at a strange time when the Assyrian Empire was threatening the people of God. And in Micah's lifetime, he watched the northern kingdom fall and be taken away. And the southern kingdom was now being threatened as well. And the people of God are asking this question, why is God letting this happen to us? And Micah's answer was, because you don't treat people right. There is an absence of justice and an absence of mercy because of the presence of so much me worship. Look what God said in Micah chapter 2. Therefore the Lord says, I am planning disaster against this people from which you cannot save yourselves. You will no longer walk proudly, for it will be a time of calamity. God says, underneath your lack of mercy, underneath your lack of justice, is the abundance of self. You see, what God has made clear all over the Bible is that He opposes pride, but He gives grace to the humble. Look at Isaiah 66, the latter part of verse 2. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. And today we close this entire series talking about humility. And in some ways, this is where we have to start. You see, you're not going to act justly. You're not going to love mercy unless you are walking humbly with God. But that's too hard to live that way in a selfie world without divine empowerment. That's why the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. It doesn't mean that God gives just forgiveness of sins. God gives strength. God gives empowering. God gives me His life so that I can live the life that I'm supposed to be living. I'm supposed to live a life that's full of justice, that's full of mercy. But I don't have strength to do that. So I need grace from God to do it. But God only gives grace to the humble. So we close today by turning our attention to what it means to turn our attention off ourselves. What does it mean to walk humbly with God? Well, one thing it means is this: going where God wants to take me. I really don't want you to miss the wonder of this thought. In fact, it might be one of my favorite metaphors in the entire Bible, that God wants you to walk with Him. Let that sink in. God just doesn't want to meet you at an appointed time, at an appointed place. God wants to be together all the time. To walk is a lifestyle. God says, come with me. Let's do today together. Walk means God doesn't want a compartmentalized life where we say, this is my work life, this is my home life, this is my hobby life, over here is my church life. God wants to walk with you. God wants us to be together. And that means that I am living constantly aware of the presence of God in my life, which means I'm never the most important person ever, because I am with God. And that immediately puts me in the role of servant. I heard about a seminary in Kansas that did something that I thought was brilliant. They're looking for a new president, and they had a lot of applicants that were all very academically qualified, and they narrowed their list to 5 subjects, and someone had this idea. Why don't we go to their current place of employment and interview the janitor? And they hired the man that got the most glowing review from their current employer's janitor, because they wanted their school to be led by a man that is constantly aware in any situation that he or she is a servant. That's what it means to walk with God. It means that I realize I don't own the path. It's not, hey, God, I'm going on a walk. Do you want to come? No, it's God saying, hey, Mike, are you coming? Because I'm going to take you somewhere that you're going to love ultimately. Why is it important that I go on the path that God chooses? Because then I own a responsibility to wind up in places that self-interest would never let me go to. If I walk proudly, I will never end up in a ditch helping a guy that got mugged. I stay away from places like that. But when I walk humbly with God, I find myself in places that self-interest would never take me. Because that's where God walks. Look at Philippians chapter 2, beginning in the 3rd verse. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, Consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Do you hear what Paul is saying to us? God wants you to think like this. How would Jesus walk? Jesus humbled himself. Jesus walked into places nobody wanted to go to. When you walk with God, you wind up with a cross on your back. You are living a life where you are daily dying to you, starting with your need to get attention, because walking with God means being fine with not being noticed. Now, I understand why attention is so alluring. We live in a culture that gives worth to people based on how much attention they get. We live in a culture that gives value to people based on how much applause they get. We even have a phrase that has become very common in our day. How many likes did that get? We like to be liked. We post something on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook and we can't help ourselves. We feel better about ourselves if we get a lot of likes. Even if we do something humble, we serve someone, or our children do something where they're serving someone, we'll take a picture and we post it so that we will get likes. And that raises a question. If all of our service has to be posted, was it really service at all? Look again at verse 3 from a different translation. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. See, what God wants is justice, mercy, and humility. But are you less willing to act justly and love mercy when it is less noticed? When there's no one to tell you, boy, yeah, that was really nice. Or, that was really a good thing you did. Here's the problem. If that is true, and if you need to get likes to do the right thing, then you're going to be less willing to help the person that you cannot name drop, to serve the person who cannot enhance your reputation or your career, or the person that can never pay you back. But to walk humbly with God is to walk so that God looks good, not me. So in the 18th century in Germany, there was a minister named John Frederick Oberlin. And one day he was on a walk outside of town and a snowstorm came in and he got disoriented and he actually got lost. And he began to think, I'm going to freeze to death out here. But he was found by a man who placed him in his wagon, took him into town and gave him care. And he wanted to thank the man, and he asked for his name, and the man, knowing that he was a minister, said, well, first, sir, will you tell me the name of the Good Samaritan? Oberlin replied, well, I can't do that. The scripture does not mention his name. And the man replied, well, permit me, good sir, then, not to give you my name. Have you ever thought about that? That maybe the best known story in the world, we don't even know the hero's name. Do you think Jesus told it that way on purpose? Love does not boast. But you do have permission to boast. God gave it to you in Jeremiah chapter 9. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these, declares the Lord. God says, you want to boast? Well, boast about this, that you know me and you know what I focus on. And life is going to give you many opportunities to back up your boast. Because if you're walking humbly with God, you get a lot of opportunities to be doing the next good thing for someone else. Because when you are walking with God, you notice what He notices. That you notice what gets God's attention. You notice people. Because God notices people, especially the people that never get noticed. So we're walking with God and we start to focus on all these opportunities that we have to act justly and love mercy. And we realize, this is no random walk. God is deliberately taking me places where I can do the next good thing for someone else. These are God-engineered opportunities and encounters. The Bible says in Galatians 6, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are a church that believes in looking for those opportunities. That is why I am so proud of our Embrace Grace ministry led by Shanna Kenworthy, helping women who deal with unplanned pregnancies, loving them and pouring grace on them and blessing them. What an opportunity. You get to be a part of that. You get to help someone you don't know see that there are people who will love them and give them a hand in life so that they can step up again. What a way to show love and grace. But I think Micah is talking about something even bigger and better than just an organized ministry. I think that Micah is talking about an organic life where you are just walking with God and these unexpected, non-attention-getting opportunities where you can do the next good thing. I try not to do this, so give me grace. I don't want to be like a hero in stories that I tell. But right down the road at McDonald's, there's a shift manager. Her name's Cheryl. And I've spoken with Cheryl now on a couple of different occasions. And I prayed with her. First time I went, she was sitting in a chair at the register. I asked her if she was okay, and her hip was killing her. She'd been there all day. And she had to sit down because she needs hip surgery. She can't afford it. The next time I came in, it was night. She was very overwhelmed. A whole bunch of the young people had called in sick, and she was doing the work of about 7 different people. But I was able to speak with her, and she remembered me because we had prayed together. And she asked me, would you pray with me again tonight? So I did. About a year ago, I was at a meal with a preacher friend of mine. And we sat down in our booth. The waitress came up to our table, and my friend asked her name. And she told him that her name was Tammy. And he says, how are you doing today, Tammy? And she said, well, I'm not really doing well. I just found out that I'm pregnant, and I have no idea what I'm going to do. Well, we got our meal served, and we spent a good amount of time, me and my friend, praying for Tammy before we ate our meal. And we visited, and at the end of our meal, my friend, these are the kind of people that are my friends, bought my meal. So if you want to be my friend. Anyways, he handed her the credit card to pay for the meal, but also he had not done it for any attention, but I saw it. He had folded up a $100 bill. And he put it in her hand, he held her hand, and he said, remember, God loves you. He's not going to abandon you. And she got all teary-eyed. Then we left. And we got outside, and as we're kind of going towards our cars, my friend said, hey, how's your family doing? I said, well, Shannon's not doing very well. She just found out she's pregnant, and we're not sure how we're going to make it. every day walking with God, you find yourself in these places, unexpected, no cameras waiting to take your picture, where you have an opportunity to do the next good thing. I want you to watch this video.
For barbecue lovers, Brad's Barbecue in Oxford, Alabama is heaven on earth. But 80-year-old Eleanor Baker says her visit here earlier this month was especially divine.
I think it was a God thing. I think God sent me there.
You think we needed the example?
Yes. That people care about other people and how important it is.
Eleanor is a widow. She lives with her dog, Rufus. And although she has a big family, they mostly live out of town. So Eleanor was alone the night she went to Brad's Barbecue. Security footage shows her entering there in the purple. And at about that same time, these three young men arrived. They say they were just having a good old time.
We was all just sitting there just talking.
When Jamario Howard noticed Eleanor.
The older woman was sitting by herself.
Jamario says he hates seeing people eat alone.
And I see that.
When most of us see someone eating alone, we feel that way. But our sympathy never solves anything, and Jamario really wanted to fix this. So he got up from his table and sat at hers.
He just came up and he said, I saw you sitting over here alone. And he said, do you mind having some company?
And she said, go right ahead. And then I introduced myself, and she introduced herself. And that's kind of how it all got started.
They all ended up having dinner together.
And it was just a really nice, pleasant evening.
What those 20-somethings did that night speaks volumes about their character. They say it wasn't entirely altruistic. They enjoyed her company as much as she enjoyed theirs.
Because when we left there, that's all we talked about. When you make that kind of connection with somebody, it's hard to let it go. I already feel like we're her grandkids.
So you got room for these guys in your life?
Of course. I'm so glad y'all could make it.
They have all vowed to make room for one another. And certainly, if Eleanor's right, that God played any role in this, it may be to remind us of the joy that awaits just outside the bubbles we live in.
I used to say when I was younger, and I still say today, like, I'm gonna change the world somehow. And I don't know how, because I'm not rich, I'm not famous, and I'm not very smart either, so I can't be a president. But we can tell the world that it's all right to be kind, and then before long, maybe the world will be a much better place.
Amen. Steve Hartman, On the Road, in Oxford, Alabama.
I really love that. And I would probably disagree with one thing that Jamario said. He said, I'm not really smart. I would argue that Jamario has a wisdom that this world needs very, very much. And I believe every day we have chances to apply that kind of wisdom. She said it was a God thing. And I think she was right. When you walk humbly with God, you have a lot of God thing moments. Because justice, mercy, and humility point beyond themselves. Look what Christ said in his own words. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Justice, mercy, humility. Repeat. It's not that complicated, but it is not easy either. Especially in a selfie world. We have to be intentional. You see, we must keep our focus on Jesus. If you make life about you, you're not going to have a happy life. And here's why. Because circumstances and other people are never going to focus on you as much as you want. But when you focus on Jesus, the circumstances and other people cannot keep you from what your life is all about. So let me wrap up our sermon series with one more story. They were best friends. And they both shared a passion for Taekwondo. And they shared a mission. They wanted to make it to the Olympics to represent their country, the United States of America. They went to Colorado Springs and they were surprised. The number of divisions had been drastically reduced, and Esther Kim and Kay Poe found out that they would have to compete against each other. And only one of them would make it to the Olympics. Everybody knew that they were going to meet in the finals, and they did. But in the semifinal, Kay had badly hurt her leg. And though she stood on the mat with Esther, she had no chance of winning. But Esther knew something too. She knew that Kay was actually the better fighter. So when they got together on the mat in front of everyone, Esther Kim bowed her head and conceded the match. And she let Kay go to the Olympics instead. Because a greater cause was more important than personal glory. Justice, mercy, and humility all start with a bow. Remember, the wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the new king? "We've come to bow and worship him," they said. They got out their scroll of the prophet Micah. We call it chapter 5, verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Go to Bethlehem." They did. And they bowed down and they worshiped him. They should have kept reading. It's right after that verse. Two verses later. "He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." Micah prophesied that this Messiah, the one we call Jesus, would fill the earth with his glory, that his greatness would be known. Micah said, "The day is coming when every single eye will focus on Jesus." And my friend, you should do that right now. Would you stand up? I want to pray with you. God, you are a God that reveals. You do not keep us in the dark about your will. And when you do reveal, you reveal with clarity so that we are not confused about what you want. But what you want, God, is not easy. To live a life that is constantly treating people right, acting justly, loving mercy. God, we need help. We need strength. We need grace. So help us, God, to be humble. Empower us with your life so that we can do good, so that we can make Jesus look good. And we pray this in his name. Amen.